I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, we got Sue's News coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Cusimano later in the hour. We're under an hour now, I guess like 56 minutes till the trade deadline. Fred, as you know, the Cardinals made at least one big move today, trading Dustin May and Jojo Romero, the reliever, to the Milwaukee Brewers. And Ethan is telling me that the handicapping of this trade is actually very positive for the Cardinals. In other words, the reaction from the baseball world is saying that the Cardinals have gotten a pretty good deal in return here with the prospects.
So yeah,
I don't know enough about that stuff. I'm going to take people's words for it, though.
I was just talking to Matt Pauley down in the KMOX sports department. He said the same thing. He says this young hitter could cause problems for the Brewers as a member of the Cardinals for seasons to come. So he thinks it's a good deal.
Their 11th prospect, Alexander Frias, and then number 13, Josiah Ragsdale for Dustin May and Jojo Romero. Now, they may not be done. Eric Burleson's name has not Eric Burleson. That's the...
That's a congressman.
Yeah, we're going to trade a member of Congress.
See how that works out.
Sorry about that. Well, you can see how that
kind
would
of hitter you think.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not been in the congressional baseball game. But Burleson's name has been mentioned quite a bit here today as a big bat and a first baseman. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay, I just want to give you a little my sports weekend. So I went yesterday. I played the open play. I've been doing this a lot over at Forest Park. So you sign up in an app, and then you show up, and there's people that rotate you. So I got to tell you something. And this has happened on Sundays. It's interesting because I play sometimes on Friday mornings and then on Sunday mornings. Friday is a bit of an older crowd, as you might imagine. Sundays, there's people of all ages. Like, you know, I would say, well, I'm just going to tell you. I played with a 10-year-old kid yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I've seen this kid play before, but I've never played with him or against him. And his name was Asher. And I'm like, okay, Asher, you and I. And I was dumb enough. I said, he's got a T-shirt on that literally says T-E-N. And I said, how old are you? He points at his shirt. He goes down. I'm like, okay, I didn't want to make the assumption because so we play these two other people who I've played against before, and they're pretty good. We smoke them. Asher and I, we
wow.
get it done. This kid, like he definitely plays tennis. So his mom and his brother were there too. But I mean, I was blown away by how good this was because I'm thinking, okay, I'll take the 10-year-old kid, whatever. So then later, his brother, and I can't remember his brother's name, but his brother and I played against Asher, and another player was really good, and we beat them.
Ooh.
So his brother said, well, I taught him everything he knows. I'm like, okay, that's good. But I, you know, it's just, I guess the point I'm making is you can look at people and you can think you can size them up, and this happens on the under the spectrum with 7-year-old plus players who you might think, they're not going to be that good. And they are. So
this is the true in the running world. You could be behind someone you think, wow, there's no way that, and they will smoke
right. yeah.
you.
Cycling, that happened a little bit with cycling too, but yeah, it's interesting. So I'm very careful about making, you know, judgments on how people
yes.
play.
That happened to me once in like a 5K. I thought, I'm going to get behind this really old looking guy
yeah.
and just keep up with him
uh-huh.
and then pass him at the end and I won't be last.
Uh-huh.
That didn't happen.
You know,
nope.
I couldn't keep up with him after the first, you know,
I'm telling you.
Yards.
You can't tell by age, by size, none of it.
No, sometimes it's difficult. All right. So then the other part of the weekend, I'm not saying I spent a lot of time doing this, but I did my big cleaning project on Saturday morning, like I said I was going to do, like my laundry room and pantry. So I ended up getting up about 7:15 on Saturday before anyone else was up, and I just start getting to work on it and removing everything. And I mean, I did
the deep clean,
right? It was great. So along the lines, I found, and this thing's been laying around a little bit, there's like a plastic flashlight, just your kind of regular looking, you know, green flashlight that takes D batteries, all right? So I put the D batteries in the flashlight, and it barely wants to come on. I mean, the light bulb in the flashlight, not very good. But I got the D batteries, right? So I'm like, I need a different flashlight. So the first thing I do is when I was on my trip to Walmart, one of my trips to Walmart on Saturday, I asked them, I said, where's the flashlight? So they point me where the flashlights are. They're all locked up. Like, first of all, try to find a flashlight under $20. You can't really do it, but they're all locked up. Now, I have some pretty cool... Some of the flashlights have gotten very advanced, right? I have two really good metal, they're probably $30, $40 flashlights, right?
Okay.
I don't need another one of those because I have a couple of them. I may have three of them. So I couldn't find a cheap flashlight that was, you know, just something that took D battery. So I'm like, oh, I bet Lowe's will have that, right? So I had to go to Lowe's to get something else yesterday. And I go back and I ask the dude, hey, where are the flashlights? Same thing. They're all behind lock and key.
Wow.
And we're looking at them. I'm like, I don't think I need one of these because all I'm looking for is a basic flashlight. So what I ended up doing was when I got home, I went to Amazon and I literally found one for $6 that is going to be shipped to me and I'll have it by tomorrow and I'll let you know how that turned out. But I couldn't believe that, first of all, that flashlights were that expensive. I mean, you couldn't find one that's just $10.
Interesting.
Why is that? Okay.
But so, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know where this leads me.
Of course.
What happens when I'm at Lowe's?
You check out the most stolen list.
That's
and
exactly
that has
right.
to be why flashlights are back there.
Sure.
It, right?
Because
it'd be
walking
easy
out
to
them.
Throw one up your shirt
and
or whatever.
And they're more expensive, I think, than I realize. So, yeah. So what I do when I go to Lowe's sometimes, I don't do this every time, but this seemed like an opportune time to do it. Candidly, it usually is when I have a need to use the restroom and I have to go back in that part of the store.
That's where it is.
Right. This was an exception. Yesterday, I was just back there, and I'm like, I always feel like I'm doing something wrong because you have to walk past the men's room, and it's kind of one of those hallways where if you look down the hallway, there's a break room, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm just literally taking my cell phone and I'm taking a picture of the items. Now, they used to do the top 10. I don't know why they stopped. Lowe's, what are you doing? I have the top 5 theft items. Can't do a top 10 for you because they didn't give me the top 10. Don't know why that was. You ready for them, though?
Maybe it's too much for the employees to remember. Okay, I'm ready.
It is the Husqvarna 40-volt Leaf Blaster Max Kit.
Wow.
And that is priced at $379. 5 of those walked out the store at a total of $1,422 lost.
Jeez. So
they put the the losses next to it. Second item is the 3/4-inch times 60-foot copper coil type L. I had a lot of these laying around at the house, so I didn't need the copper coil type L.
People are probably just selling it for the copper, right?
So probably.
Yeah.
$449. 2 of those walked out the door, so that's $824. The 12/3 cubic UEB WG 250-foot, I have no idea what this is. Honest to God, it just says, what the hell is it? There's like a picture. 12/3 CU UF-B. Don't know what that is.
No idea.
I know it cost $254, and 3 of those walked out the door at the Lowe's in Fenton. Then there's the Shark Power Detect Upright Vacuum. One of those. Those are not cheap, by the way.
No.
$599.
Whoa.
So that walked out the door. They lost money on that thing.
How does somebody get that out the door?
I think they just walk out.
I was going to say, part of the problem with the Lowe's and the Home Depot is that when there's so much chaos around checking out, especially now that you could check yourself out.
Yes. And at Lowe's.
I can see how people can get through there.
I honestly don't think at the Lowe's that I'm talking about that they even have a person to check you out anymore. All automated. Now they have people up there that are kind of, you know, guiding you through. But let me get to the last item here, the K40-volt 14-inch chainsaw 4AH kit. Again, don't know what that is. Looks like a nice little chainsaw. It's $259. 3 of those walked out the door at the Lowe's of Fenton. Those are the top 5 high theft items for this week at Lowe's in Fenton on 97.1 FM Talk. There you go, just so you know. I love that, though, that they put those lists out. I do kind of miss the top 10, but you'd have to think. Now, you know, I think I have a little bit better idea, and I think Walmart is trending in this way anyway. Remember when Schnucks made the announcement that they were going to say, okay, if you're going to do a self-checkout, it's going to be 15 items or less, right?
Yes.
And I thought that, personally, I think that's stupid, right? I'm capable of checking out more than, and it might be 10 items. It's a really low number, but I know why they do it, because too much was walking out the door.
Yes,
right?
Exactly why.
So, I think that this, you know, at the Walmart that I go to, my highly praised one in High Ridge, they seem to be having more checkers these days.
That's good.
Especially on the weekends, because I think, in other words, they're not doing it to help the customers. I think they're doing it to make sure less stuff walks out the door.
Yes.
Right? Because think about it. If you had the top 10 list of, I'd love to know the top 10 list of items at Walmart, because you know stuff is walking out the door, whether it's people that are just putting the 24 packs, you know, in the bottom of the cart and walking out and saying, oh, I forgot to, to scan those. But it is interesting because, you know, if you look ahead, even on the self checkers, there's a camera watching everything you do. Right.
Well, yeah. And then if they see you, do they come running out of the woods to get, you know what I mean? Where are they?
Well, I don't think they can do that. That's one of the reasons I think Lowe's has an issue, because their employees are encouraged to not give chase or anything like that. So if someone walks out the door with a big chainsaw or something like that, I don't think they're going to try to run after them. That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. So, yeah, then go back to Checkers. That's at some point cheaper.
Well, yeah, right? Because it seems like Lowe's is doing the opposite of what, it's all a math situation, right? Can we hire someone that is going to be more efficient and make sure that less walks out the door? I don't know. They're all making their calculations. But
you know, this weekend I was at a Walmart and I had to get help on checking out an item as I was self-checking out.
Yeah.
And when it got a little bit further into it, it just shut down my register. And it
the
said,
screen?
Yeah, the screen. And it said that something was not charged in my basket was not scanned.
And where was this?
At the Walmart on Telegraph Road. And so then the guy that helped me couldn't do it. A manager had to come over and check everything. And it turned out that the clerk checked it in wrong.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, but it just shut it down and said you can't proceed because something's not been charged.
Huh.
Wow. Interesting. That's some different technology,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
There you go. Fred trying to walk out of the store or something. Fred. Can't do that. We're coming back. Sue's new.
Hey, gang. It's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. Visit with Josh Hammer coming up at the end of the hour. It's a Monday afternoon. We got to do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Man, it's cold in here. Okay. I would like to be the first to wish you both a National Watermelon Day. Happy National Watermelon Day.
I love them.
I do not. And I think it might be because when I was a kid, you had so much of it. I don't know.
That's true, too.
I like watermelon, but I don't take the time to eat it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a little bit.
When I was a kid, my parents would always go to like a nearby watermelon stand.
Ooh.
And people would sit around and eat watermelon around tables.
That's it?
Yeah.
Where were these stands?
South City, off of Cherokee Street, off of Gravoy.
So they'd sell them and then have a table to the side and slice
them up for you?
I'll be darned. To me, it's a little bit spongy and watery, which I realize is a watermelon. But
I like cantaloupe better.
Yes, I'd rather have a honeydew, Fred.
Yep.
It's also National Hair Gloss Day. You too, either. Anybody had a hair gloss treatment? You could do that at your barber.
What is a hair gloss? I don't know if I know that.
It's a treatment that makes it really shiny.
Okay.
Yeah, you could get some shiny hair. And it's also National Grab Some Nuts Day. I will just proceed. Okay. On this day in history, we have a little music with this one. 55 years ago, it was 1971, and Ringo Starr got a gold record for this song. He wrote it himself.
Like one of the first post-Beatles situations?
I think so.
Did you say it was 71?
71.
Yeah, that's about right. Ringo's got some good songs. So what did that end up ranking on the
He got a gold
charts?
Record for it in 71, so not too shabby. And I think, you know, of all the Beatles, did you expect Ringo to be the first out of the box with a gold record?
Probably not.
No. And then I do this one for Fred. 42 years ago today in 1984 was when Mary Lou Retton won the gold medal in the individual. He loves the gymnastics.
I do.
All around women's gymnastics.
I thought you were leading me into the Def Leppard music because I also have that. I literally just started to play Pour Some Sugar on Me because that's what I thought you were going to talk about.
No, that's
sorry
coming
about that.
Up.
Yeah, Mary Lou Retton.
Okay, yeah. She won in L.A., right, Fred?
Yeah, and that was that when she had to be carried off because she
I think it was.
She hurt her leg.
Yes, but she was a trooper. And then, you know, 39 years ago today, this song in 1987 was released by Def Leppard. It's from Hysteria.
87? This was
yes,
87, huh? All
yes.
right. Sounds like a live version, too. Pour Some Sugar on Me. No? Yeah, that's a live version.
Yep,
that's
it
okay.
is. I'm the
Still
one who pulled
song.
It out.
That's all right.
My fault. And Armageddon It is also on there. Love Bites, all of that. 1987. And you can see the drummer there with one arm. I pulled it out so I could see a visual, and that's what happened. And then, oh, this is not a positive story, but it was 33 years ago in 1993 when the body of James Jordan, Michael Jordan's father, was found in that South Carolina creek. It was 11 days after he was killed. Police would not be able to positively identify him until August the 13th. Boy, that was a weird and sad story. Well, it still is.
I don't really remember the details.
Yeah, I remember the creek and
being
killed, you know,
but yeah, I don't remember the circumstances.
The death, but that's about it. And then Sopranos actor Vincent Pastore passed away on Saturday at age 80.
Yeah, we've been debating a little bit. I think I've always called him Pastore, but he was the character Big Pussy on The Sopranos. And just as a little pro tip here this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, don't enter those two words in a Google search unless you're adding other words with it. I learned that the hard way a little while ago. Thank God it was on my iPad and not on a corporate computer. Just a little pro tip here for you this afternoon. But here's a scene. Everybody loved him.
So what do you got? I think he knows. Knows what? Or at least suspects.
Who, what? What are you talking about?
He's been looking at me different, these glances.
Glances?
We had sandwiches brought in the other night. Four with ham, salami, gabagool, one eggplant, and the other with tomato and mozzarella.
Yeah, okay.
That's six total. There were only five of us. But Tony said he ordered the eggplant, but I did, and I know for certain he ordered the tomato mozzarella.
Well, maybe he forgot.
No, no, he never forgets.
So what's the bottom line?
He let me eat the eggplant, and he took the tomato. But there was a moment.
A glance.
Yeah, glance.
There was a glance. Have you seen The Sopranos, Fred?
I dipped out because I thought it was too violent.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I understand.
Things don't end well for Big Pussy. I'll just say that. Not this point. But, I mean, things don't end well for most people in Sopranos, so it's not like spoiler or anything. But he really was. He was in, I think he was in Goodfellas. You know,
he was.
Just, he was so perfect.
That was 1990.
Right. He was just so perfect for that show for The Sopranos. Yeah. Though. I mean, the casting was just great.
Carlito's Way in 1993. And apparently he got that nickname on the show because he used to be a cat burglar.
Look at that.
Huh?
So I don't think I remember that. Yeah,
I looked that up this morning because hopefully I didn't Google what you said. But I was Wikipedia-ing him, and that's what came up. All right, here it is, Fred. What to look forward to in August. We are now August 3rd, a new month, and we always go over it.
Okay. By the way, Dennis Reardon's birthday today. Happy birthday to my dad up in
Chicago.
Happy
birthday, Dennis. In sports, the NFL preseason kicks off next Thursday.
Oh, I can't wait for the Hall of Fame game.
Next Thursday. And then college football gets going on the 29th. And the U.S. Open of tennis begins on August 30th. Now, on TV, I didn't realize this still existed, but a new season of Futurama hits Hulu. Are you kidding?
Is that like a character that's like the one
eye? Yeah. And that hits today. Season 4 of Ted Lasso premieres on Apple TV Plus on the 5th. Season 4 of Reacher will be released on Prime on the 12th. And apparently there's a new superhero series called Lanterns, and that premieres on the 16th of August on HBO and HBO Max.
And one other event in the month of August that I want to remind folks of, we'll be talking about here in the next couple of weeks, the BMW Championship comes to Belrive Country Club
Just
3 weeks.
It really is. There were two ransom notes initially sent to Savannah Guthrie and her family following the kidnapping of her mother, and they have been released. The first one was sent on February 2nd, asked for $4 million by the 5th, or if that deadline was not met, $6 million by the 9th. But the second note that they received on the 6th informed the family that she had passed away. So seeing these ransom notes, it's not a lot of fun. And then Savannah comes out and says, you know what? if anybody can help us with this, there is a reward. And Nancy was last seen on January 31st. This is how long this has been going on.
I can't believe you've been talking about
for that long. I know. So I feel badly about that. But when you see that stuff, you're thinking, well, no wonder they didn't know what the heck was going on. You get one, is it real? And then they are. But then when they received one that said she had passed, I guess they probably did know. All right. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. China should be split into five time zones. But since 1949, the entire country has been on the same time zone for, quote, national unity. And that creates some crazy time changes at the borders. The largest is at its border with Afghanistan. When you cross over, you're immediately 3.5 hours different time.
Okay. All right. That's a very random fact.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get an election preview with John Lamping, who's going to join me in the studio tomorrow night as I'll take a bit of a break from 6 to 7, and then we'll pick up election coverage. We have key races and constitutional amendments, and John's going to give a preview after 5 o'clock. We have Josh Hammer with us this afternoon, Newsweek senior editor at large. You hear his show Saturdays 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. It's called The Josh Hammer Show. Josh, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
Mark, I'm doing just fine, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good. I want to talk about our friend, our mutual friend, Dr. Fauci. And you've written about this.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing to me. I've said this to a couple of people. I don't understand why this is such a partisan issue, but there are people on the left that just think he is the biggest hero. He saved all these lives. Then there's those of us who know the reality and the truth of all the celebrity that he was enamored with, the narcissism. And the guidance that sent this country back, I think, quite a bit, including kids. And I don't understand why people on the left, I mean, you can say what you will, and I've always said this, Josh, too. I allow for those first 2 months of the pandemic were very confusing time, right? We didn't know exactly what we were dealing with. The president really didn't know. And I don't even think Fauci and Birx and those guys knew. But then as, you know, the picture became more clear, and what the diaries and other information shown us is that he's just a liar. And, you know, the way that we were guided through that pandemic, not listening to other voices, is just horrific and one of the worst parts of American history.
Yeah, I think that's right on all counts. So, look, like many Americans, I had no idea what the heck was going on in those opening 2 to 3 weeks, give or take. And some of those very, very, very early on press conferences where Fauci's alongside Trump, I remember thinking this guy's an American hero. But, I mean, by let's call it mid-April, that's kind of what I typically put the timeline at, mid-April 2020. I mean, really, by like May at the absolute latest,
sure.
June, whatever. I mean, you should have realized what was going on here. You should have realized that this was just an unmitigated power grip and that there were all sorts of people that were taking advantage of this to impose their all sorts of ideological agendas. I mean, for instance, after the death of George Floyd, you had that group of doctors that said that there was a Black Lives Matter public health dispensation. If you were out there protesting and for racial equity,
yes,
and because America is systemic racist, then, oh, in that case, you could just flout masking, flout social distancing. And really, anyone with even a morsel of intellectual integrity should look at this and be like, really? Like, really? Like, this is actually the quote-unquote science? So, yeah, I mean, the jig is up with Fauci, and this diary that Rand Paul divulged was really quite damning, the parts of it that I was able to review. And I think even more damning, Mark, is the fact that he pled the Fifth Amendment 111 times last week, after getting a plenary sweeping pardon. And what I think might have been Joe Biden's literal final act as president, it was with like 10 minutes left to go in his term before the bell rang on noon Eastern time, January 20, 2025. And Fauci essentially, Mark, just to clarify this for the non-lawyers, Fauci could have gone up there on the stand last week and he could have said, you know what, Senator, you're right. I shredded confidential documents. You know what? You're right. I purged myself. He could have even said, you know what? You're right. I committed treason against the United States. And you know what? They couldn't do anything because he had a pardon. He could have played MC Hammer, don't touch this, Frank, because he can't touch this. So the fact that he pled the Fifth despite all that What does that mean? That means his lawyers were so deathly afraid that he just couldn't tell the truth if his life depended on it, that he would just perjure himself over and over and over again. So even holding aside the debate over vaccines and masking and distancing and all that, school closures, all of which he was on the wrong side of history on, as our friends on the left like to say, holding all of that aside, this is not a trustworthy individual, someone who literally had to plead the fifth a record-breaking amount of times just because his lawyers didn't trust him to tell the truth on the day when he had the sweeping pardon. I think that says all you need to know about Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, but so what is it about those people on the left that don't seem to have any curiosity at all about the damage inflicted to this country? Now, let me use January 6th as an example. I was no fan of January 6th, okay? I thought it was horrific, but the damage that that day has done to democracy or whatever they want to say, compared to the damage inflicted by this pandemic that was completely mishandled, well, it's not even close. I mean, that January 6th was a horrible day in American history. COVID was 2 years of massive failures and things that set people back, cost people their businesses, their livelihoods. We had to, you know, show our stupid vaccine cards and all this. So I don't know where else we can take this outside of trying to pin him down on some answers. But again, it's a conversation that the country should have. I feel personally, David Zweig's done a great job on this. His book, An Abundance of Caution, I had him on the air last week. But these should be discussions for people on the right, left, and in the middle to have, so we don't ever, Josh, make these mistakes again.
1,000%. And that is actually my biggest fear, right? That is my biggest fear here is the lack of justice, the lack of accountability means that it will just happen again. And when I look at these Democrats up there on the Senate dais who are just talking about this guy as if he's a saintly individual, I mean, how can you not conclude that none of the relevant lessons have actually been learned? I think it's basically unavoidable, that conclusion, that none of the relevant lessons have been learned. So what does that mean in practice? Well, what that means in practice is that the next time that there is a national pandemic, or as a case may be something that might be sold conveniently as a pandemic, but actually isn't if you look at the virulence and the mortality rate, et cetera, what that means is that we're probably going to experience a very similar mass campaign of hysteria and social pressure to conform and to fall in line. And all that COVID 2020 entails. So this is really my biggest fear. I you know, these pandemics happen every so often. Now, to be clear, this is the biggest American response since the Spanish flu about a century before. The Spanish flu, by the way, which was orders of magnitude more lethal than COVID was. But the odds are decent that there are people listening to this program right now who will experience at some point in their lifetime another pandemic. And unfortunately, I don't think we've learned any of the right lessons as to what happened.
I think you're right about that, and that's what's said. Let's talk about lessons. Let's go over to Spain, or, you know, just outside of Morocco, in that little area that's been overtaken by these migrants. I mean, it's hard to believe. Those are images we kind of saw that weren't really publicized as much by the legacy media on the Mexican border. But is this another warning call to this country, what's happening in Spain right now?
Oh, 1,000%. Look, there's been a lot of images and videos that have been pretty shocking from what happened in Ceuta, I believe is how you pronounce the exclave that's in the African continent from Spain. Mm-hmm. But I think the single most shocking video that I saw this maybe on Friday, I think it was Spanish immigration authorities literally holding the gates open. Like not proverbially, like physically holding the gates open while, I mean, the number we now know is something like 60, 70,000 of Moroccans just flood in the door. And I think you'd have to be crazy to look at what the current crop of DSA Democrats are saying and not conclude that is exactly what they would do in 2028 if they actually are able to attain full power in both the executive branch and in the Congress. I mean, they're literally talking about abolishing ICE, abolishing Border Patrol, this, that. That's what they want. They don't believe in borders. They actually believe in the whole John Lennon, imagine, you know, pass the peace pipe, all cultures are the same, all peoples are the same, et cetera. That's actually what they believe. It's really not an exaggeration. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely a wake-up call to the United States and to the American voter. It also, putting on a more parochial European lens, it really should be a wake-up call also for the elites of the European Union, the folks who kind of had this whole openness European Union Schengen area model, because you've had Giorgia Meloni in Italy and various other countries, Finland, Austria, maybe even some others by now, who basically said, we're going to cancel our Schengen agreement reciprocity with Spain. What that means is that you're not going to allow people in Spain to travel to your country without a passport. So the entire European Union openness experiment is taking a huge hit from this, and it's kind of just another point in the ledger of nationalism and against globalism, transnationalism, whatever you want to call it as well.
Josh Hammer with us this afternoon. One more topic here. We're going to vote on this tomorrow. I'm going to preview this a little bit after 5 o'clock. I mentioned this, and I know that you tweeted about this the other day. You live in Florida. I think a big reason is because of COVID, by the way. But tomorrow we're going to vote on Amendment 5, which would phase out our income tax. Truth be told, the income tax has been phased down just a little bit. Josh, you would think that this would be something like that someone like you would hear about in Florida or other people, and you say, wow, that's a no-brainer. Missourians, you know, let's fall in line with Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Nevada. But this thing, unfortunately, has been kind of mangled, and it's going to go down to defeat very badly tomorrow, unfortunately. I wish I would tell you something different, but the legislature kind of put the cart before the horse on what would, you know, be taxed in the aftermath of this with sales tax, and they let the opponents create a lot of arguments and fear tactics that are unfortunately working. So I'm with you on your tweet that says Missouri should join the no income tax club. I just don't think it's going to happen tomorrow.
Listen, I'm in no position to challenge you. You're there. I'm not. So that's disappointing to hear.
Yeah.
That's certainly frustrating to hear. I guess the silver lining in my follow-up question to you would be hopefully your sales tax and other taxes are at least not crazy to make up for that. Because here in Florida, our property taxes can be, let's say, not ideal. Same
right.
thing in Texas where you live. There's always a trade-off there. But I guess I will say this. If there are any undecided voters, not paying state income tax is really, really freaking nice. And I would wish that, frankly, for everyone in the country.
And I don't think people are doing the math is what's happening here. You know, if you look at what's being pulled out of your check, and then you kind of do the math. Think about if you had to write that check like you do with property taxes at the end of the year. But again, the fear tactics have really worked here. There's other paths to maybe get to zero income tax, which I think our governor, Mike Kehoe, is going to have to explore. But we'll wait until the votes are counted tomorrow. Josh, I appreciate it. Hope all is well down in Florida. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right, take care. All right, without further delay, right to Frank Cusimano from KSDK. We got activity even up to the last minutes of the trade deadline. Frank, what can you tell us?
Well, Lars Nootbaar was just pulled off the field in Yankee Stadium, and he was hugged by manager Ali Marmol. So you know he has been traded. We don't know the details yet. I know the Padres were the last team rumored to be heavily after Lars Nootbaar, but we'll find out, you know, any minute now on what we get in return.
Okay, but then earlier in the day, the big trade was to the Brewers, and that caught some people off guard because you're trading within the division, but Dustin May and Jojo Romero go to the Brewers, but I'm hearing we got some good prospects in return for that.
Well, we really did. One of them is Alexander Frias. He is 18 years old, and immediately, because they update these things on the prospects website, he immediately is considered the Cardinals' third best prospect. He's an outfielder who could play first base. And then this Josiah Ragsdale has been insane lately, and he is a 22-year-old outfielder. He could be the starting center fielder for the Cardinals a year from now, and he's been on fire. He has a 1,000 OPS in AA this season. So I think the Cardinals did pretty well for a pitcher they knew they were going to get rid of and another pitcher who has an appendicitis, and they're both rentals. I mean, they're both going to be free agents. So, you know, you don't win many trades against the Brewers, but I think they at least did pretty well.
Yeah, I would say so.
The latest update here on Lars Nootbaar is that he is being traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Ooh.
So he's still going out to the NL West, but he will be joining his close friend and former teammate Nolan Arenado.
That's right. So there's a few minutes left here. Burleson is in the lineup tonight. Nootbaar was in the lineup tonight. Do we think we're done?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Stanek has moved, but I just don't think it makes sense to move Burleson unless you get an offer you just can't refuse, and likewise with Herrera. But these three guys going today had to go. And now the really fascinating question is, what do they do with Nootbaar's spot? Do they take the gamble and bring up, you know, Joshua Baez from Memphis, the 6'4", 240-pounder with a 900 OPS but with a high strikeout total? Or do they just play Torres and Jose Fermin in left field? So there's a lot of interesting decisions to be made here in the next 24 hours.
Reaction to the Dodgers getting Skubal?
Well, I don't know. I don't like it.
I know.
It's just, it's an embarrassment of riches. I mean, that starting staff, if you count Ohtani as a starter, although he's not pitching right now, and I think in the postseason he'll just come out of the pen, but that group of five, that's over $1 billion. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, no National League team has ever won the World Series three consecutive years. You've just added a two-time Cy Young Award winner with Ohtani coming back. Gosh, how could you bet against him?
Any other winners or losers that you saw with some of the trades? I mean, it's been fast and furious here the last couple hours. Not a lot of big names, but anything else you want to make an observation about here?
I don't know. The Cubs got Gausman, who's a really good pitcher normally. He's been really bad, except against the Cardinals the other night. So they needed to get some starting pitching because that offense is so good, but they've lost all these starting pitchers to injury. We'll see if he can, you know, a lot of times just you change uniforms, you're all of a sudden you're with a really good team, and all of a sudden you catch fire.
Yeah, you never know. All right, let me take you back to Friday because it was this court decision that involved athletes and a fifth year of eligibility. Mark Mitchell, one of the stars for Dennis Gates and the Mizzou basketball team, has been involved in that process, perhaps wanting to get eligibility back. I thought that I heard yesterday there was a further clarification of this, that the judge said if, in fact, that eligibility is going to occur, they have to go back to the team that they were playing with. So have you spoken with Coach Gates? Is there a realistic path for Mark Mitchell to be on this team again?
Okay, so I've texted Coach Gates about this, but I haven't gotten a good response. I do know that the Mizzou people have the money to get it done, but I think the more intriguing story is Robbie Avila.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, if you got 60 seconds, I got a great story for you.
No, this is good. Go ahead.
Is Josh Schertz has let it be known that by going to St. Louis University, Robbie Avila, initially from Indiana State, cost himself some money. Okay, he could have gone somewhere else and made a lot more money. By staying at St. Louis University for that second year, he's cost himself some money. Now, people assume, well, if it is ruled that he can play his fifth year, well, it's Josh Schertz, it's Robbie Avila, they have to be together. But Josh Schertz sounds like a guy who basically has said he has sacrificed enough money for me, he shouldn't do it again.
Wow.
Because, Mark, realistically, Mark, if you think about this, this may be the last year that Robbie Avila can make silly money playing basketball. He's not an NBA player. I don't think they're going to pay him a ton in Europe. I think it's a school like Kentucky, who's already paying guys $4 million a year, would think, okay, yeah, we can pay him $1 million. So, you know, I don't know if Slew could come up with it, but my gut feel from the initial reaction from Robbie, from Josh Schertz, is he's sounding like a father and not a coach and thinking, what's in the best interest of my guy, Robbie Avila? And I think it's notable he did that.
That is interesting. But if the ruling says you can only go back to the teams that you were playing for, then that would maybe change the circumstances, right?
That's true. Yeah. And then Slew would have to come up with a lot of money for Robbie, and I'm not sure if it's there. But yeah, it's going to be a really interesting 72 hours. I hear the court is going to rule with the NCAA and against this injunction. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think there's still more to play out here. All right, Frank, thanks. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon and evening. Let's see what it brings us, right?
All right, buddy.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.